And I was 10 years old, it might have been 11, I'm not so sure exactly when. There was a friend of mine who, we went to Ari Crown together, and we were dealing with, we always used to run together. He was a good, he was a very good runner, a very fast guy, and I was very friends with this guy. This guy's name was Eugene Edelman. Unfortunately, he didn't stay from, but Eugene was a great guy, and the truth is that he was a better runner than me, in that I could run faster for short distances, but he was built for long distance running. He had a body, he was built for that, and I really could not keep up the pace. And any long distance runner will tell you that it's not about the need for speed, it's not about the spurts, but it's about the consistency. That you want to stay even at a certain amount throughout the entire time, that even though you're running a slower mile, but if you're running a slower mile now, that'll help you run the exact same mile later on. So if you're running an 8-minute mile, you know you can do better than an 8-minute mile if you're just running 1 mile. But if you want to run 10 miles, 12 miles, 15 miles, whatever it is, to run 8-minute miles the entire way through is amazing. It's amazing. It's a tremendous feat to be able to do that. From the Chet of Adam Rishon on, things seem very new in the beginning, and they seem great. Everybody's into it, and everybody wants to learn. And then as time goes on, it gets a little bit slower, and it dies down a little bit. See, right now, you could be into the concept of Ksubis and what Ksubis is all about, and maybe you're still losing it even right now, but at the beginning, Ksubis is great. It's just, as time goes on, you start losing it a little bit. You're not really into all the concept that Ksubis has, and you might not want, you want to start something new. You want to start something brand new and to get in it. See, imagine if you were a boss, and you had a worker that was working for you, and this, you had two workers, let's say. One worker is a consistent worker. He doesn't make you a ton of money, but he'll make you a good $10,000 here, and then a $10,000 there, and then $10,000 there, and he works consistently, on a consistent basis. You know that at the end of the month, not only does he make his quota, he makes a little bit above his quota, but it's a smaller amount. You have another worker. This other worker gets $150,000 deals every time he puts his effort in, but he only puts effort in once every 3 or 4 months. He said, look, if you only put that amount of effort in every month, you'd make $150,000 every month. So why don't you put in all that effort? He just doesn't care. He does, one day he's just all into it, and he's able to do as much as he can, and he's an unbelievable worker, but then the next 3 months, he's just wasting his time. Think of, as a boss, what would you do with these two workers? So the consistent worker definitely isn't as good. But the consistent worker, at least you know what you're getting with them. The other guy, you have no idea what's going to be with them. You have no idea. So he brings in one big deal, you're happy about that one big deal for a little bit, and then you're so frustrated with the guy the entire time. There's just no consistency there. There's nothing there. Chazal even asked by tzedakah, what's the nafkamina of, should you give one lump sum, or should you give it little by little by little by little? Which one is better, in giving in one big lump sum to tzedakah, or little pieces there, and each one by itself? So let's look at the Akedah for a second. The Akedah at the end of this week's Parsha is an amazing piece. It was a 3-day trip to get from Avram, where Avram Avinu was, which was around Hebron, Kiryas Arba, somewhere around that area, to get from where he was to the Makom HaMikdash, which we know of as Har Moriah. He took what now is known as Derech Hebron, that's the street in Yerushalayim called Derech Hebron, and anybody who has been on a bus in Yerushalayim going to Hebron knows that maybe, with a little bit of traffic, it's maybe a 40-minute trip. Maybe a 40-minute trip. More likely like a 35-minute trip, maybe even a half an hour. If there's no traffic at all, you can get there in a half an hour. If it's a half-hour trip by car, so how long of a trip is it by foot? If you're going by foot, 5 hours, 6 hours by foot, maybe 7 hours. So why did it take Avram, 3 days to get from Hebron to Har Moriah? That's where he's told to go. He said, go somewhere near Har Moriah, around the area. He didn't tell him exactly where, but he said, go there. So why did it take 3 days? And what's the point of having it be 3 days? Now, granted the Sultan was involved. Anything can happen with the Sultan. There may have been rivers, lakes, something holding him back. But what was the point in having him go for 3 days straight? So there's a mila that Avinu has here, and this is part of the Nisayon. This is an amazing thing. Whenever it says the word Kasher Tziva, Kasher Tziva So Elokim, Kasher Dibere Lo Hashem, whenever it uses that lashon, it means he did that mitzvah as if God was telling him to do it right at that moment. When you put on your tefillin in the morning, and you put it on, you make the bracha, and you're so happy to put on tefillin in the morning, you're doing it with such concentration, you say, it's as if I was just commanded this mitzvah. Somebody came down and said, put on tefillin, please. This is the greatest thing for you to do. She said to her, Baruch Atah Hashem. It's such a great thing, because it's the first time you do something. When it's so great, it's the first time, and you're so excited to do it. If you do that the next time, you're amazing. Do it a third time, you're beyond amazing. Do it a fourth time, you're the greatest person in the world. See, it's hard to do it again and again the same exact way. That's a difficult thing to do. It's very difficult. Avraham Avinu was consistent. When he gave the bris milah to Yitzchak, kasher diberi lov Hashem, it means he gave the bris milah to Yitzchak a year after he was told to give a bris milah to himself, but he did it with the same bren, the same simcha, the same zrizus. He was so into it. He was so excited to give the bris milah the same way that as if he was just commanded. It's supposed to be that way when we do our mitzvahs also. It's like we were just commanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu left 3 days earlier, and he was walking around the mountain the whole time, and he had to maintain simcha as he was going around the mountain, because he needed to get a nevuah as to where the Akedah was going to be. So after one day of reaching the area and walking around, he probably still had that simcha, I'm doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After 2 days, a full day of just walking around the mountains, being told nothing, no nevuah, nothing of what to do, just keep walking around. He's walking around and walking around. A second day, it was crazy. Avinu kept up his simcha. Until on the third day, where you're small, and Eliezer already like, maybe you misheard. Maybe you heard something wrong. Maybe there's something else. You're small and Eliezer are going crazy. Avraham Avinu was able to get a nevuah. And remember, a prerequisite for nevuah is to have simcha. He stilled the simcha. 3 days later, he was thinking about the whole time the Akedah, thinking about, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? It goes against everything I stand for, everything that I thought God stood for. Why am I doing this? 3 days later, he's in such simcha about the mitzvah that God commanded him to do, to sacrifice his child. He has a nevuah to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechina on top of the mountain. And he looks up and he says, whoa, it's there. Who else sees it? Yishmael and Eliezer are sitting there like, it's the desert, alright? We're around this mountain. We've been here for 2 days already. We don't see anything. Is there a cloud up there? I don't know if there's a cloud up there. But Yitzchak, along with Avraham Avinu, looked at it and said, Dad, I'm ready. Let's go. Probably since Dad, Abba, or Tati. I'm ready. Let's go. And he was ready to go. Avraham and Yitzchak were able to stay consistent the whole time with Simcha, ready to get a nevuah the entire time. And when he got the nevuah, he went up. And that's the point of the Nisayim. And that's the reason why it took him 3 days. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be 3 days. There was a reason why it had to be that way. So how do you do that? How do you get it that way? How do you become that Simcha Dekiyid that does every mitzvah that way? You sowed from anything that you do in life. The key is consistency. You have to know what you can do and know what you can't do. And don't pretend to be something that you're not. If you're not the type of person who can stay a little bit extra after Seder yet, then don't fake it yet. Work your way up to it. You have an extra hour, so work your way up to it. Do 15 minutes extra one day, then 15 minutes the next day, 15 minutes the next day, 15 minutes the next day, and eventually 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. Build your way up to it. You can't just jump into it. It's impossible. You can't. It's very difficult to come into Seder on the first day of Zman and spend 3 hours from 9:30 until 12:30 in which you're only concentrating on one subject. It's easier to ease your way into something. It's much easier that way. Sometimes, you gotta throw yourself into it, because otherwise it's just gonna take too long. You can imagine that in the beginning of Zman, it'll be a little bit hard. But start your consistency and work with it. You have 3 hours, work with that and go further and further and further. You know, it's easy to watch a guy who one day spends 6 hours learning, then the next day, 3 hours learning, then the next day, 4 hours learning, then the next day, 7 hours learning, the next day, 3 hours learning, and comes back and says, look how much I learned during that week. I totally agree with you. But it's 3 hours, and then 6 hours, and 7 hours, and you think you're making it up. It's not making it up. It's just hurting you. It's not allowing you to do what you know you can do. A guy davening Shemona Esrei, one day it's 2 minutes, one day it's 5 minutes, one day it's 8 minutes, one day it's a minute and a half, one day it's 12 minutes. that inconsistency can kill you. I don't mean literally kill you. It just destroys your way, your methodology. I'm not saying that you can't have one day where you're like, I really need a good Shimon Esrei today. Of course. And one day you're just like, I'm not into it today. You need a short Shimon. Okay, that happens. But consistency is the key to anything, to be successful, to be able to get it down. See, here's the deal. Sometimes people feel like they're not accomplishing, like they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. If you're consistent, you get it down, day in and day out, you will feel accomplished. There is an accomplishment to that. Even if you're not able to accomplish everything that you could get, by just sitting down and being there for those hours, and you know you did whatever it is, 3 hours for morning theater every day, 2.5 hours for second theater every day, 1 hour for night theater every day. You get that down. You have those times down. You will feel accomplished. Even if you didn't do everything you wanted to do. Of course, we're never able to do everything we want to do. That will be an accomplishment right there. Finishing a Masechta is also an accomplishment. Obviously, we want to sit, and if only if I spend 8 hours straight right now, I'll be able to finish this Masechta and everything will be great. But it should be a better accomplishment, an accomplishment of feeling like I can do this tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. I've known a lot of people that stayed up really late, that wanted to stay up until, I don't know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. at night. And I see it every time. If a person does consistently every night until 12 o'clock, does not miss, goes until 12 o'clock, let's say, learning every single night, versus a guy who one night he goes to bed at 10, and then one night he goes to bed at 11, one night he goes to bed at 2, and the other night he goes to bed at 1, the other person will not last. It'll eventually just dissipate and go away, aside from the fact that your body isn't used to it, which is why people get sick so often. If you're not used to doing something, then you're just going to get sick. Is it no wonder that when people say they slept in a little bit, they slept in until 8 o'clock, chas v'shalom, 8:15, I know that doesn't happen by you, but by anyone else, if a person sleeps until 8:15, they feel a little bit more tired on that day. Well, I slept later today, you'd think that I would be fine. It's not. Because when you break your consistency, your body isn't used to it. The extra 45 minutes, hour of sleep that you just got destroyed your body. You didn't realize it, but it destroyed it. You no longer have what you've had up until now. Shabbos is sometimes a killer. Where you're waking up every day at 7:10, 7:10, 7:10, 7:10, and then all of a sudden you wake up and it's 8:30. It's 8:30. It's a killer. Some days are hard for that reason. Some days are a difficult day. That's not a hecker. It's a reality. That's what it is. But everyone here should start with their Seder. You should have a time where starting a Seder is one of the most important things to be makshiv, not only yourself, but the learning itself, the learning that you're doing. Starting the Seder at a certain time. And sure, there's problems, there's always breaks, there's always problems, there's issues with that. But starting the Seder as soon as you possibly can. Listen, I have my own issues of getting here to Shabbos on time, but one thing I can tell you, I'm definitely consistent. It's 7:40 every single day. Maybe 7:41. There's a consistency to that. There's something at least to it. Granted, not the best thing in the world, and I definitely need to work on it, but there is a definite consistency to that, and that's something that I've been working on for years. For years! It's an unbelievable thing. Start your Seder. Let's look at our Seder. Seder starts at 9:15. I know this comes as a shock to some people. On Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Fridays, again, it exists. It is a day of the week. It is not taken out, even though it's Hachanas HaShabbos. Still, we're starting on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, all at 7:15. Monday and Thursday at 7:30. If there's no Vahav, no fast day, no crazy speech, nothing like that, those are the days. If you're here by 9:20 or 9:35, great. Great. It would be awesome if you could come exactly on time or even a few minutes earlier. But we're all yeshivas here. We understand that. You're not going to come a few minutes earlier. So let's go. If it's 9:15, then it's 9:15. If it's 9:30, then it's 9:30. Yes, you might fall asleep. Yeah, you might have during breakfast or something. Yeah, you might have work that you have to do. But be consistent. If you break that consistency, if something's off in that, your whole Seder is going to be affected by it. You walk in at 10 o'clock, you waltz in at 10 o'clock with a little coffee in your hand, maybe a donut, and you walk in, you sit down. It's going to take you 15 minutes just to finish your donut and coffee and explain to people where you got it. You didn't get it at that Dunkin' Donuts, it was at that Dunkin' Donuts, and why you got this donut over any other donut, and why you like this coffee more than any other coffee. It's going to take you 15 minutes, and then where are you left after that 15 minutes? You're going to open up your Gemara, it's already 10:15. Open up your Gemara, and you just like look at the Mara Mekomos, you're just like, oh my gosh, I have so many Mara Mekomos, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this. Talk for 10 minutes about how the Mara Mekomos are and what you want to do. After the 10 minutes are up, you look at the Gemara, you start off the line, and you see a word that reminds you of a TV show that you might have seen 6 years ago, or heard about 6 years ago, and then you look at it, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that reminds me, I forgot to tell you, there was like a crazy thing. And then you're reminded about Monday Night Football, it's Tuesday, right? So Monday Night Football, and you're reminded, oh my gosh, it was such a great game, both teams all together have a combined win total of one. What a game, I wish that anybody could have watched this. It's so great. And then after you finish that, then all of a sudden, it's like you're left with, it's already 11 o'clock. And you're like, all right, it's 11 o'clock. It's not even worth it. You know what? I got to go to the bathroom anyway. I'll see you later. You go down to the bathroom, and everybody knows that when you bring down your phone into the bathroom, you're not leaving for another half an hour. Okay, I don't know why people touch other people's phones. I still don't understand that. But and that's it. And then you go into shir, and you're like, I accomplished today. You finish shir, and you might have gotten like a word or two in shir. Maybe you got like six lines of what the Rebbe was trying to say. And at 12:30, you come out, and you're just like, man, that was a great morning seder. Got like 3 hours in, and everything's all good. You got zero. You got zero. That's like a grand total of absolute zero. Well, what do we have after all that? That's where consistency comes in. You have to make it that when something goes off, that your body, you yourself, tell yourself, stop. This is deviating from the normal spectrum. This is taking me away from where I need to be. To leave yourself on that path, you need to have that path. The Derech Eretz, so to speak. That's the way to go. Don't work on your Bena Starim. Your Bena Starim is after you've accomplished and completed and perfected your Seder. If you're working on your Bena Starim, you're missing the point. You're missing what it's all about. Work on your Seder. What is going on during your Seder itself? And then, if you need to, make it up. But don't destroy your whole schedule because one thing goes wrong. And again, if something gets thrown in, that monkey wrench that's thrown in, you have a final. Or some other test that you have to take. Or a 6-page paper. Something that's there. So, okay. Understood. Find the time for it. Find the time. But don't ruin everything else because you got to find time for this one thing. Understand when to do things and when not to do things. You have to lose a little bit of sleep. Yeah, it's going to hurt you the next day and it might be a little bit harder for you to wake up. You have to. There's no other choice. What other choice is there? Seder should be so, what's the word for it? Sacrosanct, I believe it is. To the point where, that you, Adam suggested that we're going with that word, it should be to the point where that's not your choice. It's that, oh my gosh, I won't be able to go to davening today because I have to finish my paper. That should be, Seder is automatic. Classes should be like, maybe. I guess, if I have to go. Miss a class rather than Seder in order to do something that you need to do. If you have a doctor's appointment, and you have a choice, you can make it during second Seder, or during some class that you have, then make it during the class. And if you say, no, I can't miss that class, something's wrong. That's not right. Yeah, sure, something comes up. But understand what you should be consistent in and what your number one consistency should be, and then move on to the next level. That's the way that it should be. The way that it should be. Not the perfect way, but the way that it should be and the way that it eventually should go around. So let's understand. If you think that the reason why you're not understanding something is because it's a boring subject matter, or this is only chazara, or my chavrusa isn't learning on the same level as me, or something along those lines, then you've totally missed the point. You're looking at the trees and you're missing the entire forest. The point of getting yourself involved, of liking something, of being involved to the point where you enjoy learning, you enjoy everything you're doing, is when it becomes a consistent thing, so much so that you almost feel like you're empty on those days when you're not doing it. A vacation should be the way it should be, not the way it is, but the way it should be is, you feel like something's missing. You wake up in the morning, and and you still wake up at 7:15, even during vacation, not 10:32 and you barely made Zman Tefila, but you wake up at 7:15, you wake yourself up, and you say, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I should be going to Shacharis right now, and I feel like I should be going to Seder. And even though vacation is there for you to calm down a little bit, so that you can do other things, and that you can get take care of all the issues that you need to take care of. Going to doctors, going to dentists, going to whatever you need to do during that time. Shopping even, for the guys that are somewhat like that. Right? Whatever you need to do during that time, that's what Bein HaZman is for. But understand that that's the time when that should be done, and this is the time when this should be done. And during that time, you should sit there and you should say to yourself, something's wrong. Something's off. Why don't I have a Gemara in front of me for 3 hours today? Why don't I feel the same way? That's what it should be. And if you go through this Zman, then when there are days off in the middle of this Zman, like a Baruch Hashem Thanksgiving vacation, right, which is a pure Jewish holiday all the way through and through of Akaras HaTov. So when you get up to that Chag of Akaras HaTov, so you sit there and you say to yourself, what am I supposed to do today? Is it pure watch football until I get stuffed with turkey? Just questionable with the Reb Moshe, and then sit there and maybe catch a Marv. Oh gosh, halftime, I gotta go to Marv. Is that what it's going to be? Or is it going to be you wake up in the morning, and you sit there, and you go to Shacharis at a normal time, not the 11:30 minyan in some shtiebel somewhere, but you wake up at a normal time, you wake up, and you feel like you should be learning, so you grab a little bit, and you learn a little bit after davening, and you have a nice big breakfast, calm yourself down a little bit, do anything that your parents want you to do, get yourself ready. See, this is the way that it should be. So that you're, the whole time you're thinking, so when am I going back to finishing what I want to finish? That's the way it can be. And that's real hasmada. Hasmada is not one night staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning learning. That's not hasmada. I can't say that out loud. It may be the Yetzer Hara. Trying to get you to think that you're a masmid when you're not. Hasmada means doing it every day the same way. And if a person goes to just Siddur, no Ben Hasarim, doesn't add on time, but he sits there and the whole Seder he's sitting and he's learning 3 hours, 2.5 hours, and 1 hour, that's a masmid. He's doing it because the definition of a masmid is to be tamid, to be a tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arba'im, where you're doing it consistently every day. And if you're not, if you're just doing it one day this way, one day that way, you're missing out. Sure, one day you can stay up till 1, maybe 2 days you can stay up until 1, maybe even 3 or 4 or 5 days, but if you can't keep that up, if that's not there, that's not consistent. That's not a masmid. That's a person who learns a lot. But he may be missing out on tons of other things because of that, and that's missing out on the point of what a masmid is and why we praise people about such a thing. Avraham Avinu was a zokin bal bayamim. A zokin bal bayamim. Kashi is, what does that mean exactly? We all know zokin, according to the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed, says zokin is zeh kana chokma. That if a person, even if you're younger, is Zekana Chachma, we have a young man who's learned a lot of Torah, that person is called a Zakin. A Seva, is an older man. But a Zakin is even a younger person who has acquired Chachma. How do you become a Zakin? Torah tells us, Ba Bayamim, because he came every day. And he did everything he was supposed to do every single day of his life. Avraham Avinu, who defines for us consistency, who showed us by the Akedah that this is the way to be Misameach every day, even though it seems old, even though it seems like we're doing it every day, this is it. This is the way to make it feel like it's new, by being consistent and doing everything every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to. If you do it in that way, when you're Ba Bayamim, that's when you become a true Zakeh. And that's the line that the Torah is trying to give. And that's the way to become great. That's the way to pass our Nisyonos. And not just pass them by. To pass them and to say, we've done it in the right way. So work on this. Think of what you can do during Seder to make yourself more consistent. Allow yourselves to have something that goes inside your head. Allow yourselves to be at the point where if you're a minute late, 2 minutes late, 5 minutes late, you still feel, I'm missing out on something, I better run. I'd love to see that. Love to see someone at 9:14 running into the base medrash to be able to get here at exactly 9:15. That would be tremendous. But give yourself at least to have it in your head. The consistency is the key. And just keep running. That's the way that it should be. Stop with that, guys. Have a great day.